services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host, Brian Anthony.
Well, good afternoon. It's high noon again in the Triad, which means it's time for Empowering You. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brian Anthony, General Manager of WSNC, and your host for this interesting and great show, I hope, for you, information-wise. Today, hopefully we're beyond the weather. It won't be quite warm today. It's not expected to be, so we'll see. It's going to be on the chilly side. Empowering You is where we highlight local nonprofits in our city, county, and the region, and many of the services they provide citizens of Forsyth County and the Triad. Also, we'll introduce many of our local corporations that have community initiatives designed to benefit you and to continue making our region a great place to reside. Not only do we feature nonprofits and corporate community initiatives, we'll also hear from our local entities like Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, City of Winston-Salem, and we've also added an additional monthly feature that will focus on staying true to the name of this show, Empowering You, by focusing on empowerment, specifically women's empowerment, with special guest partner, Forsyth Women's Magazine publisher, Brooke Eagle. All packed into an hour. We hope that you make it a point to join us, as we always do every Sunday, following money-making conversations at noon. Also, if you miss it, the podcast we have available on our website, as all of our public affairs programming is, just by logging on to WSNCradio.org and clicking media on our navigation bar. You'll see podcasts. You can also access our website on our free mobile app that you can download in your device's app store. That would be Apple or Play Store. All right, this is a round two of a visit. As we talk about on Empowering You monthly, we bring in four entities to give you updates: the City of Winston, the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School District, and Forsyth Women's Magazine to dive into empowerment. And today, we have a return visit from the director of the Forsyth County Health Department, Joshua Swift. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here.
Good afternoon. It's afternoon now.
Okay, yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah. So today, we had a very lengthy conversation in our last visit covering all the things that the health department does out in the community. But today we're going to do a quick update. We probably won't have to talk as long, but I want to get into a couple of reports I've been seeing as we get into the summer months. People are getting back, as I've talked about over the last month or so, about return from COVID. But it seems that COVID is starting to spike again. I just saw on a couple of reports, news reports, in Europe and in New York, they're ramping up vaccines because of the spread of the BA2 virus. Is that happening here as well, or is that something we need to be aware of?
Yeah. So, yes, we are seeing more COVID cases in other parts of the world and in other parts of the United States, and we're seeing an uptick here in North Carolina and in Forsyth County. So we've had about 150% increase over the last 2 weeks. You know, we're nowhere near where we were during Delta and Omicron.
Yes.
But we saw close to 300, 400 cases the last week of April, and it looks like it's still increasing as we speak.
Okay. I don't want people to take this lightly because, as we talked about off microphone, fatigue, mm-hmm. COVID fatigue is definitely – it bothers me. Because when I hear a report, oh, there's a new strand of COVID coming. Really? Really? Oh, we got to deal with this again. So are we in a danger zone? We're always in a danger zone when you see an uptick in cases, especially here locally, because we're such a small community. But what do we need to be aware of? What do we need to still, I guess, carry those protocols that we had before in terms of social distancing? Not quite as much as we did over the last 2 years, but I think a lot of common sense has to be used here too.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're seeing a shift overall across the nation, and it's national, state, and local. It's gone from mandates mm-hmm. where, you know, things were, you know, businesses couldn't be open, or mm-hmm. there you couldn't have events. There were limits to size of events. Masking was mandated. Now it's really about personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So you got really three big things. Make sure you get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're up to date on the vaccine. So right now, a lot of people are eligible for a second booster.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're 50 or older, or if they're immune compromised, they could get that booster. If it's been more than 4 months since their previous booster. The next thing is masking. You know, there's no mandates to require masking, but there's nothing saying that you can't wear a mask either.
Right,
so wear a mask if you feel comfortable, depending on your risk tolerance, your health status, where you're at. And then the other thing is testing.
Mm-hmm.
Tests are available. We have at-home test kits you can come pick up at the health department. All 10 library branches are on board. They have those test kits as well. Plus, there's places you can go in the community. Talk about the uptick in cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the cases that we know about where people have went to a test site.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know about individuals that take an at-home test kit. So there are probably more cases.
That is true. Yeah. I received my test kits in the mail, I think, last week. So how does that work? You don't get the numbers included in on what's happening in the community when it's a home test, because people don't report those.
That's true. There's no method and really no capacity. I mean, I talked to someone the other day, then you have three people that were positive for COVID
mm-hmm.
in the last week. Well, they all had at-home test kits, so that wouldn't be
report
in our numbers. So yeah. I don't know for every one that we see how many
at-home tests that are taking place. For me, you know, as we enter into the summer season where people like to be out, there are a lot of festivities happening. Of course, outside, it's a little bit more flexible because the wind's blowing and it's not in a consumed room where everybody is there and the air is really not circulating like outside. So I think for me, being able to be in radio and walk into a place with a mask on is so cool for me because nobody knows who I am. So I'm going to continue to wear my mask regardless. But in places like the store, when I go to the grocery store or if I go to a concert or something like that, my mask is going to be on because I'm thinking enclosure, inside, not a chance for any of this air to really get out and circulate. And circulate in new air. So I'm always going to be like that. So it seems that we're really not out of the dark, but we're able to move on with life precautiously knowing what we have to do to protect ourselves. I think that's the right
thing. Yeah, I think that's the right thing. And I think we have to, you know, yes, we got to go on living. And just like you take precautions every day with seat belts
mm-hmm.
and other things every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stop at a stoplight, but you know, we got to take those precautions. But, and again, there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing wrong with not wearing it. I think it's, like I said, based on the person
mm-hmm.
and the situation. And like I said, the vaccine, and we do have some, you know, medicines and treatments that are available, but the best thing is to try to prevent getting COVID
mm-hmm.
or if you're vaccinated, most likely you're going to have that protection, so it'll be mild.
Yeah. And keep in mind, it's a respiratory disease or a respiratory ailment. The only way it can really get in your body for the most part is through your nose and your mouth, because those are two places you breathe with.
Yes.
So always protect those. The mental health aspect of that, after we talked about the fatigue, don't assume if you wake up one day and you're not really feeling all about yourself and really want to not really want to do anything because you're just tired of hearing about all that, whatever. Mental health. How do we get people that especially lived alone during COVID for 2.5 years, didn't have anybody around them? How do we deal with the mental health fatigue as well?
Well, I think, like you said, I mean, we've come through a lot. I mean, this has been a worldwide pandemic
mm-hmm.
for over 2 years. And you just think about, we were talking about off the mic a few minutes ago about, just think about 2 years ago, how it was. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The world was virtually shut down.
Stopped.
So yeah, we've been through a traumatic experience. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of this is like PTSD, it's a post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting through this. I guess the first thing is, it's okay not to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times.
Say that one more time.
So it's okay to not be okay.
Yes.
And a lot of times, I think, especially for men, we're like, oh, I'm tough. I, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have a problem. Well, you know, we all, it doesn't matter if you're
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, Incredible Hulk. You're like a D1 football player whatever. You know, this is mental. And I think it's, like I said, it's okay to not be okay. And to really, I think we're meant to be, like you said, social and interact with others. And part of that social piece is leaning on one another and helping one another. And whether that's a friend you can call, whether that's a counselor, whether that's a pastor, clergy member, or just someone, you know, really, it's like I said, it's okay to talk to people and to get help. And you know, there's lots of resources out there. And I think that's the biggest thing. And the biggest thing I'm learning, too, I hope a lesson we can learn from the pandemic and take from this is it's okay to slow down. I think in some ways, you know, this was a wake-up call that we were doing so much before. We were so busy, whether it was sports or just events, just things going on. And even good things, you know, good things are church events and things like that. But some, it just, we had to stop. And, I think that's we need to learn how to pace ourselves, if you will.
I could get into a biblical teaching moment with that, but I won't do that today. Let's talk about something that's going to – oh, no, let's start here. Something takes place through May the 12th, Nurses Week. I didn't know that.
Yes. So, yeah, that is through the 12th, and really – our public health nurses, nurses in our hospitals, long-term care centers, schools, you know, nurses are special. We appreciate all that they do and all they've been doing, you know, during this pandemic. But just that's special people. And the reason it's May 12th is the last day, so we start a week before, is that was Florence Nightingale's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So,
wow, what a great tie-in that is.
Yes.
So all you nurses out there, happy Nurses Week. There's not enough that can be done or said on your behalf for all the work that you've put in over the last couple of years. I know, having gone to the hospital room, emergency room, been in the hospital over the last couple of years, I've had conversations with a lot of nurses about how this pandemic has affected their personal lives. So my hats and a great deal of applause goes to a lot of the nurses in the healthcare industry, period, for being there for us during a time where we didn't know what we were dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, heroes. And you look at what our nurses and doctors and medical professionals were doing. Like I said, thinking back 2 years ago where they were going in, and those hospitals were some of the most, you know, dangerous places to be, and those ICUs, and we all can remember those stories and those pictures, and just anyway, the things that nurses do every day. It's a great profession, and we encourage anyone. I know we have a partnership with Winston-Salem State and the nursing program,
and a great program.
And we have students that come up to the health department. And we're always trying to recruit them to come work in public health.
Yeah, absolutely. So hats off to the nurses. There's not enough thank yous in the vocabulary system to even thank you. We're wrapping up a school year right now, but you have a back-to-school program coming up soon, too. By the time we talk next month, this will have happened on June the 4th.
Yeah, so we are, even though we're still we're just not done with this school year, we're already thinking about the fall, so we are having events. We had one last week, April 30th, but we got another one June 4th, Saturday from 9 to 12 at the health department, where kids, parents can bring their children in and get their back-to-school vaccines for next year. So,
cool.
You know, we're really trying to get ahead of that. Each year, the state has a mandate that children have their vaccines by the 30th day of school. And unfortunately, what happens is if kids don't have it, they're excluded from school.
So
we don't want any child to be excluded. So we'll have some events in the summer and at the first part of school, but now is the time to get ahead of that and get your vaccine.
June the 4th, don't forget, at the health department, back-to-school vaccines for all of you that have kids. Don't wait till the last minute. You know what that does. That puts pressure on the people that are doing the vaccines. And if you're not able to get in, like Joshua said, 30 days after the start of school, your child has to sit out.
Yeah, so we are working with the school system. Information's coming out to all the kids. to make them aware, and it's going to be from 9 to 12 on June 4th.
Okay, good. Other activity that's coming up in the next month or within the foreseeable future that you want to address coming out of the health department?
Well, just one thing I wanted to mention is we all know about the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. That was something that numbers have come out. I mean, how many thousands of people die because of the opioid epidemic? And that's one of those things that we're just like mental health, and I think mental health is it affects that.
Yes.
So one we have Narcan. It's or some people call it naloxone. It's the drug reversal. Mm-hmm. So it's if someone overdoses, they can reversal medication you can give to someone. Law enforcement has this. Paramedics have it. Mm-hmm. But we also have it at the health department where you can come and get that because maybe you have a family member. Mm-hmm. That is on opioids, and this affects all people. I knew a person myself who was a pastor, mm-hmm. who'd had a shoulder injury in college playing sports. He got hooked on medicines. He ended up ODing and dying.
Wow!
But so this could affect anyone. So really encouraging people to have that available. I'll never forget. Some people may remember Dr. Jerome Adams. He was a previous Surgeon General. And he came before the pandemic, spoke at a Baptist hospital. He said, how many people in this room know CPR? Every hand raised. Mm-hmm. How many people in this room have Narcan on them if they see someone OD on the street? Like one hand out of 100. Mm-hmm. So really trying to make that more available. And also related to overdose, we're working with Twin City mm-hmm. Harm Reduction Coalition. They are coming to the health department on Wednesdays from 1 to 3 doing syringe exchange for individuals that need those clean needles. So obviously, we're trying to, help people. And what we've seen is that once people get involved either with the needle exchange and with things like that, they're much more likely to come off of drugs.
Okay.
So, we're just trying to, to help people where they are and get down that path mm-hmm. to recovery.
Training this is all, we haven't touched on this, but I'm thinking as we talk about opioids and the drug that they can use for reversal, do you all provide training for that?
Well, it's very simple. There is a pamphlet, a one-page mm-hmm. pamphlet where people can get that information
okay,
where they
good,
can do
good,
that.
Good, good.
Yeah, it's...
Now, my favorite youth group, Posse.
Yeah.
What do they have going on these days?
Well, they are doing events out in the community, continuing to do that, working through our colleges and universities, mm-hmm. communities, really trying to broaden. We have their reach out into the community, not only in urban areas but rural areas mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I hope that we can have them along with, just a plug, we have a new men's health coordinator on board, really encouraging men to know your numbers, like, that's your blood pressure, your cholesterol, those health metrics that you need to hit, also looking at it from a mental health perspective. Really would love to in the future bring some of those individuals
absolutely
on board to.
Yeah, we talked to Women's Foresight Magazine about women's empowerment and just empowerment in particular. So definitely men are, for me, are the most at risk because we're so macho. We don't I'm going to be okay. I don't need to go to the doctor. I hear that all the time from friends of mine. And I'm like, are you serious right now?
Yeah. And I would encourage, with the county, we have probably like a lot of businesses where we can do these screenings once a year.
Okay.
And you do it because you can get a little discount on your health insurance.
Okay.
So, I do
that's
that.
That's important.
So I do that every year. I get my cholesterol, get my blood pressure, mm-hmm. Go to my doctor to get a physical. Because, anything, 99% of these things, if you can catch them early.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out. And you, too, and knowing about your family history.
Absolutely.
Like I said, you're not going to put, we were talking about cars before. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't put Coca-Cola in that Audi.
Well, I'll tell you a great example of that. I think a lot of people, when they buy especially foreign cars, because they're the most – difficult to get serviced in terms of pricing and all that stuff. The regular mechanic can't get into a foreign car and get it fixed. But my point is, you don't buy an Audi or a Mercedes or, and I'm not going to say this to say that the name that I'm going to use is a bad choice. That's not what I'm saying. But you don't buy an Audi, you don't buy a Mercedes, you don't buy a Porsche and then take it to Walmart to get it fixed. And there's nothing wrong with Walmart. Believe me, I go to Walmart all the time to get stuff done to one of my cars at least. But you just have – there's a certain amount of expertise that goes into these foreign cars, and you just don't do that. And you don't do that to your body either.
Well, I think, you know, probably even a better analogy than the putting the right gas in the tank or service is mm-hmm. back to the service. I mean, now new cars is a little different, but every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, you better get the oil changed.
You better.
And so better. Every year, you know, you should probably get your numbers looked at. Yeah, like, as far as
absolutely, especially men.
Yes,
women go all the time, but men, we have to do a much better job. Much better job.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, you're working on public health events calendar.
Yes, we are working on an events calendar, and you know, the biggest thing I would say, if you want to stay up to date on all the things that the health department is doing, go to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Just go into Facebook and put in the search engine for Forsyth County Department of Public Health.
Okay.
We've got 11,000 or 12,000 followers, so I know there's probably some of you out there already following us on Facebook. But we are, we're always trying to be active in the community. Be out where our citizens need us most.
Yeah, absolutely. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. Appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, public health, our goal is always to promote health and improve lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate this partnership with WSNC. Absolutely. And appreciate any feedback or any ideas, you can give us a call. Yeah, if you have any questions about the services at the health department or any ideas or ways that we could help the community, you could call 336-703-3100, 336-703-3100, and you can ask to speak to me or to anyone at the health department, and we'd be happy to discuss how we can better help the community.
Oh, that's great. Once again, Joshua Swift, the director of the Forsyth County Health Department, thank you for your time. Thank you for this great information. I don't want to go another year with people not knowing where to find out information, especially when it comes to the health department. So that's why we do this. And we appreciate your time, too, as well.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stay tuned. Stay close to your radio. You can take a quick break. We'll be back in 90 seconds. We're going to talk to one of the organizations that is very well known internationally, and we're going to stay on the health conversation. We're going to do that next on Empowering You, 90.5 FM, WSNC. Community and nonprofit organizations in the Triad. A portion of our mission at WSNC is to connect the community. We have several platforms to help enhance awareness throughout the Triad of the many activities and events provided by countless organizations. Workshops, lectures, motivational speakers, healthcare screenings, seminars, you name it, it's happening in the Triad. We strive to be a major connection for our listeners and want to make sure to offer organizations consistent access to inform the public. If you're responsible for your organization's marketing and or publicity, or you know who is and can pass this information on to them, at least 2 weeks prior to the event, send us details on organization letterhead to WSNC Community Calendar. Email it to WSNCFM@gmail.com. WSNC is an NPR affiliate owned and operated by Winston-Salem State University. All right, we're back. Welcome back to Empowering You on this beautiful Sunday. Earlier, we got into our normal monthly routine with health, with the health department here in Winston-Salem in Forsyth County. And now everybody knows about this organization, everybody on an international level. I have here with me the Community Impact Director for the American Heart Association here in the Greensboro Triad area. And her name is Linda King. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I found out you were Delta. That's interesting. Yes. Let me put that out there first so we can go ahead and get beyond that. But you're also an Aggie.
Yes, I am.
I won't hold that against you. It's okay. All good. Yeah. It's all good. That means you come from good crop.
Yes, right here on the Winston Salem State campus all today. Right.
Good. Don't let that seat burn you.
Okay. I won't.
All right. Let's get into a very important conversation that we're about to have, because what you guys represent and you're an advocacy for is heart health.
Yes.
One of the main things that affects especially the black and brown communities throughout the country on a regular basis, it's sometimes a lack of education. It's sometimes a lack of discussion. It's sometimes just, you know, just saying, oh, that's the way my family is. A lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
We know the American Heart Association for a lot of different things. You're an advocacy organization, not a health expert organization. Define the difference between that, especially with such a difficult topic as heart health, advocacy versus the expertise of being a doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. So the expertise of us not being a doctor is that we promote health. So we provide health education, health promotion, health prevention. We can assist you in learning all that you need to know in reference to heart disease and stroke, warning signs, how to prevent mm-hmm. these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when it comes to you pretty much managing and controlling that part, we want to say, talk to your physician.
Right.
And we say that because, the physicians are the experts.
Absolutely.
And then that's where we want to, make sure that along with the patient education mm-hmm. Information that we're providing, mm-hmm. that you're also visiting your doctor. You're also making sure you contact your doctor for any health issues that you may have.
Right.
And what we do is just is just an added part that enhances mm-hmm. and improve lives. And so that's what we do.
That makes sense. The things that we are constantly talking about and constantly preach to about the heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and a lot of that can be attributed to a diet, hereditary, lack of exercise, any number of things. So what are let's get into the programs. One of the things that I wanted to touch on, a lot of organizations like the American Heart Association, mm-hmm. and I'm taking my time with this because there's a lot to this. Scientific research. What does the Heart Association contribute to scientific research?
And if you're talking in particular about this particular market, mm-hmm. This area, and across the country,
mm-hmm.
we have researchers
that
are locally. Mm-hmm. And the local researchers assist in any research as it relates to heart health. For example, one of our researchers at North Carolina A&T
mm-hmm.
got a call from him one day, and he wanted to collaborate on our hypertension efforts that we're implementing in Greensboro.
Okay.
So in addition to his research, which, you know, is a little more in-depth as to what we do,
mm-hmm.
He wanted to collaborate on the community effort.
Okay.
So our researchers have different areas that they're focusing on, but they overall assist us in helping to, learn more about how we can improve health and, stay ahead above the, the trend
mm-hmm.
of what's going on
mm-hmm.
Right now. And so these researchers are the way in the studies that they provide to us, help us to improve health, everything from CPR
mm-hmm.
in reference to CPR.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking a CPR class, mm-hmm. and now we have hands-only CPR,
okay.
you know, all that comes from our research and our science. So when it gets to the community, you know, it's already been tested.
Right.
It's already
right.
evidence-based.
Right.
So the programs that you see that we're implementing are science-based and evidence-based.
That's amazing, because a lot of the doctors, I always say this, I'm not sure if I probably should say it, but doctors are not, they're experts, but they're not experts. They're practicing physicians, which means they're experimenting too. They're trying to figure out, in this situation, if you have this situation going on with your body, trending and research tells us that this is the best treatment for it. They're not saying that that is an exact science. So you have to, a lot of people I know, including, you know, my dad passed very early at 54 years old. And with black men, a lot of the problem is we're afraid to go to the doctor. Let me cough wrong, or let me feel a pinch somewhere that I shouldn't be feeling. My doctor is getting a call today. We have to do a better job, I think, of figuring out
yes.
what it is that's going on with our bodies.
Absolutely.
Are you all seeing that with the American Heart Association being a major problem?
I would say, in reference to the health priorities that we're currently implementing
mm-hmm.
In our area,
mm-hmm.
definitely speak to that.
Okay.
Because two of the main priorities are hypertension or high blood pressure, and nutrition security.
Okay.
Nutrition security as it based to people wanting and needing to learn how to cook healthy and
okay.
eat healthy.
Okay.
We in Winston-Salem, we're focusing on nutrition security
mm-hmm.
And also high blood pressure. And through our mobile kitchen,
mm-hmm.
Simple Cooking with Heart program, that provides healthy eating and healthy cooking classes in Winston-Salem and the Triad.
Okay.
It teaches the connection between one's diet and chronic illnesses.
There's a lot to unfold in that conversation because
yes.
we like what we like.
Yes, we do.
On campus here, we have Fried Chicken Wednesday, which it sounds marvelous. A lot of people participate and eat to their heart is content. But is that always good for us? The fried part.
Absolutely. You're right about what you said. The fried is not always good, depending on your health condition.
Okay.
And then as another factor, we say, you know, everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
There just comes a time in, you know, a person's life when they need to maybe increase
mm-hmm.
their opportunity for healthier options in their diet.
Okay.
So through an initiative that we have, as I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that focuses on nutrition education, our Simple Cooking with Heart mobile kitchen program,
okay.
We provide a curriculum-based program. It's evidence-based as well. We
mm-hmm.
talked about the scientific part, so it's evidence-based as well. And it's where a community member can participate in our 10 classes. It's 10 classes
okay.
that go along with the curriculum. And our mobile kitchen, I would like to say, is located at the Enterprise Center.
Oh, wow. Right down the street on Winston-Salem's
campus.
Right.
And we work with all types of organizations,
okay.
community organizations, corporate organizations, community-based organizations, and faith-based
mm.
organizations. So somewhere in your community,
mm-hmm.
if you have someone who wants to connect to our programs because the doctor has said, you know, you have health issues, or the person could have had a stroke,
mm-hmm.
Hypertension, you're trying to prevent and or manage that, or even, you know, diabetes.
Okay.
Then somewhere in the community, we have this resource available for our community members to improve their health.
Okay.
And so I do hope that, you know, people will learn more about it and go to our website and
take advantage of it.
Exactly. Take advantage, because it's definitely impactful. Will be impactful.
To register for the 10 class nutritional yeah. security classes, I think that's what that falls under, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
To register for those, are those classes free?
Yes, the classes are free. And as I mentioned, for the most part, we work with organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We work with Winston-Salem State University.
Mm-hmm.
We work with Wake Forest Baptist.
Okay.
We work with some of your churches locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have other health department maybe having an activity, and then they'll call our chef. We have two chefs, one full-time, one part-time, and they're really great. And so, you know, the health department may call and say, hey, we're having an event, and we need the chef to come and provide an intervention for us.
Okay.
And so that's when our chef will go out and assist that. So there's so many ways in the community that that our residents can be connected. And then if they want to, you can just send me an email to linda.king@heart.org.
Okay.
Linda.king@heart.org.
We're going to do that again at the end because I want them to be able to contact you on a number of things. How would a local organization get in contact with you, or what is the procedure for them to partner? Because I'm thinking about Divine Nine now. We mentioned Delta and Omega. There are several Divine Nine organizations that are very active in our communities that would love to connect, especially in a health-based situation like the American Heart Association, to be able to help get the word out in the community. How do they go about, what's the process look like for them?
Yeah, so the process is, and I would just like to say that for this year, we did a really great event with Zeta Phi Beta. It was Facebook Live, and of course, it was it happened last year, so we were all in the virtual mode.
Okay.
But they actually had 455 people to be a part of that live, where our chef Najai provided them with like a cooking demonstration type event. Was very well attended, very well put together. So for any organizations like that, you could just contact me again as a first step, linda.king@heart.org. I oversee our mobile kitchen program, work closely with the chef. And once you make your contact, we work things out to get you on the schedule. And we definitely stay very busy, in demand. All of our classes, we get feedback from the participants, and they always tell us they learned something. It also creates confidence. Confidence in cooking. You'd be amazed at how many people don't cook healthy just because I don't have the confidence. I don't know how. This is how I've always cooked my food. This is how I've always cooked my food. But once Chef Najai shows up, he doesn't. He'll take the food that you have and help you to learn how to cook healthy. For example, we were working with some students locally, and you know, students purchased those noodles. And he took the noodles and
those Roman noodles.
He took those and showed them how, hey, just don't put the sodium in the packets and add vegetables to the noodles.
Right, right. Really?
So it's just things that are very easy that people don't think about, that you can learn how to get your vegetables and your fruits, or to increase in vegetables and fruits in your diet.
Are those 10 classes inclusive of like you said, recipes or ways to utilize what you eat, but make it a healthier meal?
Absolutely. Wow. So every curriculum, for every class that's noted in the curriculum, everything from knife skills to what's in your fridge that you can take out to make healthy, to how to cook on a budget.
Okay.
So you know, all of those will have all of that information available.
Good. High blood pressure. This is alarming to me. I was talking to a friend yesterday in Florida, and to find out that she was in the hospital because her blood pressure is high. And when she gave me the numbers, I was like, how did that happen? I've also run across people who walk around with a blood pressure count near 200. How dangerous is that?
That's very dangerous. And what we do have that we provide, you talked about how we are the maybe not the doctor
expert,
but experts, but we do have information, what we call infographics, that people can use, and it shows them exactly where you are in the range of high blood pressure.
Okay.
So for a normal blood pressure range, it is less than 120/80.
Really?
So if your friend was at 200,
that's a problem.
And that could be, we know why her doctor you know, said to be in the hospital.
Absolutely.
But in the United States, it's close to like half of African Americans, mm-hmm. you know, have some issue with high blood pressure, mm-hmm. myself included.
Yeah.
I've had my time with having to, as you can say, pivot mm-hmm. to realize like, oh, wow, you know, got to get this under control.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to high blood pressure, it can increase your risk for a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
If you have diabetes,
mm-hmm.
It's not good as well, because it can also affect, you know, you having a heart attack and or a stroke
issues.
As well.
Other
issues.
So yeah.
It definitely can cause so many issues. And we like to say these are things that can be preventable.
They are.
Depending on your work with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I say patient education
mm-hmm.
As well, because I actually have a background in diabetes also.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going through a diabetes boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said to us, The classes were actually conducted by physicians and
mm-hmm.
researchers, and they said, what you do in patient education
mm-hmm.
is what helps that patient to make a difference and an impact in their life for lowering blood pressure
right.
or
right.
for preventing and managing diabetes. So this is so important, and the work that we're doing is so important in the community. And so, yeah, so...
If I'm a person that I suspect something is going on with my body in that regard, I don't feel comfortable talking to other people about my condition or my business, as we call it. What's the easiest way for them to do self-research outside of Google and Facebook? What's the easiest way for them to find this information that puts them in this danger zone?
I would say for us,
mm-hmm.
it's our website,
mm-hmm.
which is heart.org.
Okay.
You can go to that website. You can find so much information in reference to heart disease
okay.
and stroke, physical activity,
mm-hmm.
nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone contacts me, then I will send them, you know, infographics that can assist them with whatever they're trying to learn more about.
Okay.
We have organizations who are hosting health fairs,
okay.
and they will send us, you know, emails or contact us and say, hey, we need health resources.
Mm-hmm.
We have links that will take them directly to our site so they don't have to go to the site and research.
Okay.
You know, we just email the link and you click that. Click the link and the information is there for you to use. And it's very helpful. The infographics, or some people call them flyers,
mm-hmm,
are
mm-hmm.
very attractive
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just very user-friendly and easy for anyone to read.
Okay. If you're just not joining us, we're talking to the Community Impact Director with the American Heart Association, Linda King. Let's get into some of the local initiatives. Let's start. You talked about earlier the Triad Mobile Kitchen. How did that come about, and what's the mission for the mobile kitchen? I'm thinking kitchen and mobile. That means that it's on wheels, and is it something that's prepared ahead of time, or what is that?
Yes. So it came about as a donor who wanted to see a difference happen. A difference
mm-hmm.
or make a difference
mm-hmm.
in the African American community. Mm-hmm. So a donor provided the funding for us to get the program started. It's an American Heart Association intervention program that's available anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you do need a chef who's
okay.
on staff
okay.
to implement the program.
Okay.
And so that's where our chef, Najai Dickerson, some of you may have heard about him
mm-hmm.
in the community.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been implementing this program for the past 4 years. And the goal of it overall is to teach that connection between one's diet and chronic illnesses.
Okay.
And so the components, as I mentioned, are all part of the curriculum that we actually implement,
mm-hmm.
and it can assist a person in improving their health. If they have heart health, if they've had a stroke, they're just trying to get, you know, I just need to be healthier,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And learn how to do it,
mm-hmm.
then that program is really the resource that is available, and it's a really awesome nutrition-based
program
that we have available
good,
in Winston-Salem.
Let's touch on this. A lot of parents should be interested in this because I see a lot of kids doing it. Tobacco and vaping. What is the American Heart Association involved with in terms of keeping parents and keeping kids especially aware of the dangers of that, because obviously they don't see them?
Right. So nationally, we have received funding that can assist us locally in working with the school systems across our markets. We would definitely love to actually collaborate with some of our local agencies who focus on tobacco, free communities, and vaping. And so if there are any organizations, you know, everything from smoking cessation to like the school systems, they focus on implementing policies around this.
Okay.
We would definitely love to partner. But nationally, we have received we have received funding to implement activities locally, and definitely want to partner with our local organizations to increase awareness.
Okay.
About this, you know, this vaping issue.
Okay.
We have a community conversations platform that we can actually work from with the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely would love everyone from community-based to faith-based.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago we used to have a program called Smoke-Free Holy Grounds where we could go in the churches and provide them with assistance with signage and smoking cessation classes again. So
I would think with all these programs that are available, which is probably why I felt it important to do this show, to highlight different organizations that have a lot to give to our communities. American Heart Association, of course, being one of the more prominent names that's recognized internationally.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult, I'm trying to think of how I want to put this, how difficult is it for you guys to get organizations to participate in some of these initiatives? You might, for instance, I know you're out and about, you meet people that are a part of an organization, they'll say, hey, we want to be a part of that, but never follow up, or you never hear from them. How difficult is that in getting the community galvanized on this mission for heart health?
That's a great question. Absolutely. For us, it's that there are some organizations who have a focus on health.
It's
almost like, you know, we're going to be working with health departments and hospitals. I think what we are up against in our competition is like there's so much else in the world. There's fast food. There, you know, there's so many other things that excite people.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, you go to your doctor and you need to be healthier for whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy for us. There's so many programs and interventions available, so many activities that we want to do in health that, you know, that are available that we may not get to implement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not easy because there are so many other things that people may see as exciting
other than
focusing on my health right now. But when we can actually connect with those organizations like we're working with now, that does help us to do the work and make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, I just would just love to see like the healthiest, I don't know, state for North Carolina or the healthiest country. That's just like a dream. But it's just so hard because even when people have conditions that they need to focus on, they're like, hey, you know, I want to do something different.
That's an interesting concept. I mean, I've heard people say that, knowing that you have a condition and you still go, you know what, you only live once. I'm going to do this my way.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that I don't know about it. I can only speak for me. I remember 10 years ago, after being in this business for 30 years, grinding every day, this got to be done, this got to be done. It's not a 9-to-5. I'm working late into the night. I'm working in clubs. I'm doing all this crazy stuff. 10 years ago, I was on my way to the bank one day, and all of a sudden, my head started spinning out of control. And I'm like, what's going on? And I threw up, and I said, uh-oh, that's a problem. I went home. I don't know, I stopped for a minute, gathered myself, and I'm being very transparent about this. Went home, got into bed, slept it off for about 2 hours. I was fortunate. Then another time, that didn't happen for a while. I went to another state for Christmas holiday. Christmas Eve, 4 o'clock in the morning, I get up to go to the bathroom, and the whole room tilted sideways. So when I get to the... I didn't want to go because it's Christmas Eve, 4 o'clock in
the
morning.
Yeah, that's that competition out. Right there, Christmas Eve.
So, and then it just, I laid down and it didn't stop. So I finally decided to get up and go, let's go to the hospital, take me to the hospital. I get to the hospital and the first thing they think is, sir, these conditions sound like you might be having a stroke. And I went, whoa, really?
Wow.
So they... One of the things that they did, I think they gave me an MRI maybe. They put me, I can't remember, but I remember going in a tube or something and them exploring my body. And then when it was all said and done, I was dehydrated and I had a vertigo attack. But luckily, it wasn't a stroke because those are all the signs of a stroke.
Absolutely.
So what the moral of the story is, when you have those kind of symptoms, don't think that you're... As I tell my wife, don't think that you're the Google doctor. Don't let Google be your Google days of self-diagnostication are over. Stop doing that and go to the doctor. How important do people have to be about that? Right. That type of activity and that kind of action.
Exactly. They have to be it's very important that you stay on top of things when it comes to your health. But the key thing is the prevention. You want to know what you need to do to prevent high blood pressure, to prevent a heart attack, to prevent a stroke, diabetes. And you wanted to know what you can do to prevent those chronic illnesses. So when you were talking about your symptoms that you were having, these are things that you can feel okay. We call high blood pressure the silent killer. For a reason. So we just need to, if you can just know your family history. Knowing your family history is important. And then also visits to the doctor every year is important to know. Because because you can, if you know your family history, that's how I learned about high blood pressure being prevalent in my family was from my mom, and then going to the doctor to get it under control to the point where I could get rid of my meds. But I learned the one thing that I have to do to keep my pressure managed: physical activity.
You got to,
and that's me. So if everyone can learn, you know, what it is that they need to do to be healthier and to prevent and manage and control their conditions, that is just like. That's really great, and that's what can help.
It's one thing to know, and know that you got to do something. The issue becomes for a lot of people, and you know I'm just as guilty, is the discipline to be consistent with it. I like your ringtone. If you don't cut, is being consistent with it and being disciplined and knowing that you got to do it. And it's it can be a life-threatening situation if you don't sometimes.
Absolutely.
The hardest thing for me to understand is why people, well, I get it, and then sometimes I don't get it. I love my life too much. I'm trying to add 20 more years to my life. I'm having too much fun. I'm just being honest. A lot of people, I understand, struggle mentally with where they are in their lives, and they just give up at some point. So I don't know if awareness is always the key, but it's the awareness, and you got to have the initiative to want to do better, I guess, as a person. I think.
Right. As a public health professional, I think that awareness is really key as well, because what people don't know. It's
even more dangerous.
So for our initiatives, for the most part, we always want to put that key factor in about increasing awareness.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, we have a really great media team, Miss Sarah Fedeli.
My friend, the little energizer bunny.
Yes. So she is really great at making sure through our media opportunities that we're able to increase awareness about heart disease and stroke.
Absolutely. If you have a relative in your family or you may be going through some challenges and you need assistance, there's also caregiver support from the American Heart Association. Is that true?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
How would a person go about getting caregiver support?
Yes. At our website, heart.org, and just you can Google support network. Mm-hmm. Or however you want to Google it, support network.
Okay.
It's really great. I've used to be a part of it by email, and then it just got so big until, you know, it went. It's one of the key programs that we have on our listed on our website right now. But it's just like a what do you call those group support group where you be face to face, but it's virtual.
Okay.
Some. Maybe local, but you know, for the most part, with what we've been through with COVID, is virtual. But it's a really great resource.
Okay, great, great. One of the things that I consistently see, because I'm a sports fanatic, is NFL Play 60 devoted to kids.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I love that, and I think it's a great alternative to the video game era that we're in now with the kids. How did that come about, and what's the importance of that versus what the opportunities that kids have and take through video games and just not being active?
Gosh, right.
Yeah, that's one of, I'm not going to get into that today, but yeah.
Right. So that's with our youth market. And so I do some collaborations with them, but they focus on making sure that they can get into our schools. And with them working with the schools, it's not just about fundraising, but increasing awareness about physical activity and bringing that, you know, Play 60 opportunity to that school where I don't know nowadays how it works, but it just seems like I know from my educator colleagues and they tell me how physical activity is the first thing that might get cut. And it's like almost the most important of, you know, the classes and so forth. But they may experience cuts, you know, not cut it out, but,
they
may experience cuts. But through Play 60 and through our youth market programs, it's very beneficial, I would say, to assist schools because there's no cost. There's no cost. And we're bringing an intervention. You know, it's not just someone sitting there with, you know, like a video game,
which I know the
kids have a lot of fun doing that, absolutely. But they learn about their health at the same time.
You got to be. I remember as we're talking eons ago when I was a kid, we had G.I. Joe. We had Hot Wheel tracks and Hot Wheel cars, and then everything else was outside.
Absolutely.
I remember
outside.
On Saturdays and Sundays,
exactly.
My mother and father going, yo, get your chores done and get outside.
Absolutely.
Don't come back until the street lights come on.
Exactly.
So you're outside. It could be 96 degrees. It could be whatever. You're outside continuously being active.
Yes.
Not sitting in front of a TV.
Yes, same here.
Not sitting still with a video game. And I think it's important that we remember that as adults, because think about, I don't like doing this, but think about this. Think about where you were when you were 20, weight-wise, body-wise. And as we got older, we got more complacent with where we were in life and what we were doing in life, working all day, sitting 8 hours a day, some of us, in our offices and not getting the activity. So it's important that you get that activity. And we live in an environment here in North Carolina. Scenery.
Yes.
Trails. Nature. Just walking around the neighborhood. I've got in my neighborhood 2 major hills.
Wow.
It's I can't even ride a bike up the hill. I have to get off the bike to push the bike up the hill.
But you know, Brian, research shows that active kids are active adults. And I know just from my own personal story in my house, I had one daughter who was extremely active. I introduced her to being, you know, both my daughters.
Okay.
Introduced them to being active and healthy eating.
Okay.
One got it, the other didn't. The one who got it, she's very active.
Okay.
and she focuses on healthy foods. One day she's vegan, the next day she's vegetarian. My other daughter, who did not get that when she was younger, she just doesn't care about eating healthy, and she doesn't care about exercise, but she needs to.
Okay.
So she's grown into that adult that, you know, I'm still working. She's still a work in progress.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll still keep at it because of what I do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And trying to increase awareness, you know, about heart health and being healthy for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's your quality of life. It's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Have something to look forward to. Make a plan so that you have something to motivate you to keep going.
Exactly.
And I think that's key with a lot of people. A lot of nonprofit organizations in the area are also, and I'm sure yours is not removed from this, volunteers.
Yes.
How do you go about being a volunteer, and what does a volunteer do for the American Heart Association?
Yeah, so a volunteer can work with a number of our programs, everything from our heart walks to our heart balls. Mm-hmm. We have Go Red Luncheons, and through our community impact division. We also, as I mentioned, our Triad Mobile Kitchen program.
Okay.
And then also I don't think I shared about our Hair, Heart, and Health Initiative. We have a Hair, Heart, and Health Initiative that includes shops here, barbershops in Winston-Salem.
Hair health. Let's get into
it. Hair, Heart, and Health.
Okay. Hair, Heart, and Health.
Right. And that initiative increases awareness in the African-American community about high blood pressure.
Okay.
So the focus is to increase
high blood pressure awareness
in the African-American community. So,
okay.
We work with those barbers. Those barbers have been trained as community health ambassadors.
Okay.
We've trained them on everything from the warning signs of a heart attack to stroke 101.
Mm-hmm.
We've taught them about tobacco-free communities.
Okay.
Some of the barbers thought that vaping was
cool.
Okay.
No.
And the sign says no smoking, but it's okay to vape. So we've taught them about that. We've also provided them an opportunity to learn about local resources.
Mm-hmm.
So we work closely with United Health Centers here in Winston-Salem.
Okay.
And their community health center that actually assists us with providing trainings. Their medical director sometime will come to help us with the trainings that we're providing to the barbers.
Okay.
So to equip these barbers with the health tools and resources that they need to help their clients and other community members to improve their health.
Okay.
At these sites, the barbers have equipment, high blood pressure equipment, so people can learn, well, people can actually take their blood pressure. Now that we're hopefully getting through all of this COVID activity, right before COVID, I would say like a month before COVID is when we had our first big kickoff in the Triad.
Okay.
And then ever since then, you know, things have been virtual.
Everything
but
is
these,
different. Yeah.
But these barbers are definitely, they're so vested and they see this on the front line. They see their customers go from one point they were good and possibly healthy, and then now they have health conditions.
Yes.
So they, so as far as the volunteers can assist us in working with any of these of the initiatives through community impact, and then the programs that I just mentioned. And I know people do get excited about the big local events that we have, just contact us. Me through email, and I'll leave my email with you.
Oh, we're going to do it again.
Right? Oh, we're going to do it again?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
that's fine. So and then I'll also share Sarah's email.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we'll have more than one person that they can actually contact to volunteer.
Okay.
And we connect them to the particular person that they need to work with.
Okay. One final thing for me, anyway. And in case you're just not tuning in, we're in a very engaged conversation with Community Impact Director of the American Heart Association, Linda King. Let's talk about the Winston-Salem State HBCU scholarships. You thought I forgot about that, didn't you? What is that? How can a student participate? And what does the interest have to be?
Our HBCU Scholars is an effort to us to bring that opportunity to the scholarship opportunity to the students at historically black colleges and universities
okay.
to expand their ideas around health, whether it relates to health disparities, social determinants of health. You'd be amazed at how many of these students already have in their mind, you know, that entrepreneurship type side as it relates to health and how we can connect, you know, community to clinical and all of that. These students, you know, have this. They've been working on it. And so we have that scholarship opportunity for them to actually apply for that scholarship. And then the students will work with, we have a regional staff member. And then that regional staff person, I could connect them to that person if they're interested in the scholarship. But that regional staff person would work with them for, it used to be a year. Not sure if they have extended that, but they have an opportunity to attend our, like, our national conference, scientific sessions. And then she also may incorporate other, you know, opportunities for them to connect with our leadership. And then they focus directly on that idea or that proposal that they submit. They're focused on whatever they submit to us in reference to health, social determinants of health, health disparities. And they will focus on that for a year. And we're assisting them with that funding. To actually, you know, to build whatever they want to develop in health. And then to me, that's just like it gives you a great opportunity to give you a better start on what you want to do, like right after college.
I think it's great because one of the things that I fear for this generation, the past two generations coming through now, is when we came through, it was always get an education, get a great job, and then retire with a family and live your life happy ever after. They know through everything that's been going on with COVID, social injustice, there's not really a lot that they can see as far as hope out there. So they're creating their own. I like that about this generation. And one, I think I mentioned this with one of our previous guests. If you ask any student right now that's in school or somebody that's in high school getting ready to graduate, what are your next 5 years going to look like? I'll be a millionaire in 5 years.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Cool. I like that. But aim high so that if you fall short, you'll be closer to your goal.
Right.
I like the fact that they're taking health on because they see it affecting their parents and their family members. Is the excitement in the youth realm really at a high level these days?
Absolutely. It is. Okay. And like you said, just the students will say, in 5 years, I'm going to be a millionaire or whatever. But they have those entrepreneur type minds, and that's what it is. But what we're seeing is like a lot of them are, as you said, when I was told to get an education, go to school, get a job, and just work on that job for, 20, 30 years or whatever. But the students you see nowadays, and it's the majority, you're going to see them have that plan to maybe work, but at the same time incorporate that entrepreneurship. You know, that's what our program helps to focus on with that component. So because nowadays most students are looking, know,
they
to build their own businesses. Build their own, their businesses.
And
so
it's one of y'all get up there, become successful so I can stop doing what I'm doing and you can hire me because I'm good at what I do.
Absolutely.
Anything that I've missed in terms of upcoming events that you want to highlight coming up in the month of May or June?
Well, I would just like to say that May is stroke month.
Okay.
And you can get more information on our website.
That's good to know.
Heart.org, May is stroke month. And, you know, Brian, in the past, we had a lot of organizations. You mentioned Divine Nine. A lot of organizations, community and faith that used to focus on Stroke Month have events for Stroke Month. So I'm hoping we see that come back.
I think it's the awareness part. People,
it is.
I mean, one of the things that COVID has done is just changed the way life has been that we knew it. I tell marketers all the time, don't assume that because you were on top of your industry in 2019 and 2020, that people after 2 years of all this craziness going on, elections, social injustice, COVID, that they're going to remember that you exist. They don't. they don't.
True. That is
so
true.
You have to get back out there. Let's keep, for instance, I didn't know May was stroke month. Yeah. I had no idea. I totally forgotten about that. So let's stress that. Let's keep it moving. Anything that we've forgotten to address that you want to address before we close?
I think the last thing I need to say is that in 2019, Winston-Salem State University was the recipient of our Empowered to Serve grant award for $100,000.
Wow!
And so they received that award from the American Heart Association to implement nutrition educational opportunities for youth. And they were actually providing youth camps around nutrition right here on this campus.
Oh, wow.
It's going really great.
That's got to be coming through our health services department, I would assume.
Absolutely. Okay. Dr. Cynthia Brown, who is also the president of our board, our Triad American Heart Association board.
Oh, wow.
And so COVID really impacted those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they continue to work with the parents and providing them with resources and some virtual opportunities.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say, like, Winston-Salem was, I think we narrowed it down to about 19 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And only in our market, it was two schools that received that award.
Oh, wow.
Winston-Salem State University.
Oh, good.
And
that's very good.
Johnson C. Smith
that's very good.
University, I believe, those two. So, yeah, we had... Oh, gosh. Quite a few applications. Mm-hmm. I want to say at least 20 or more.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Okay.
And when it was all said and done, Winston-Salem State was one of the recipients for a $100,000 grant.
I'm not going to do that today. Because I have Aggie sitting in front of me and I want to be respectful. I'm not going to gloat. No, but that's very impressive and I'm glad that our university can serve as a foundation for this program.
Absolutely, they are, and we collaborate with Winston-Salem State University on a lot of our interventions. A lot of times when we're trying to do work in the community, and we just pick up the phone and call Winston-Salem State, Dr. Cynthia Brown and her team, Miriam Booker, we call them, and it's pretty much said and done.
They make it happen.
So we appreciate all of the assistance that we get from, you know, this university and the other partners all across the Triad, Greensboro, North Carolina A&T, and just all of the partners. We appreciate you all so much.
That's very good.
We couldn't do it without you.
And we appreciate your time because, like I said, this is an important conversation. I'm always open to having unprepared dialogue because that's what it
Absolutely.
I think it takes at this point in time for people to become more aware around them of what's going on with their health, especially their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Linda King, Community Impact Director of the American Heart Association here in the Triad. Sarah Fedeli, thank you so very much for making this connection. I love you for that. And hopefully we'll have some more. Anytime you all have events coming up, make sure you contact us so we can get the information out. That's what we're here for.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much. And if anyone needs to connect with for more information, my email is linda.king@heart.org.